Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the spirit of interactive dialogue, I wish to return to the continuing discussion on the applicability of international humanitarian law, or IHL. Given the very lucid insights that our distinguished colleague from the delegation of China provided in his intervention this morning, the gist of the argument, as my delegation understands it, is that the application of IHL presupposes the legitimacy of armed conflict in outer space and therefore undermines the goal of our multilateral conversation towards the prevention of an arms race in outer space. As we have stressed repeatedly, my delegation has a different perspective. We see that IHL is agnostic to the legality of the use of force or any violation of jus ad bellum. It is triggered only when an armed conflict breaks out, whether or not the initiation of such an armed conflict is legitimate. This includes armed conflict initiated in violation of the United Nations Charter or the Outer Space Treaty. We consider also, Mr. Chair, that the dual use nature of space objects makes it extremely difficult to exercise the core IHL principle of distinction when conducting armed attacks in outer space. For example, global positioning systems are used primarily for civilian and commercial purposes, but it could also be used for military purposes. In times of armed conflict, an attack on an asset providing GPS services could have severe humanitarian implication on states not party to such armed conflict. So what this implies is that compliance with IHL is therefore difficult in outer space. And this reinforces our assertion that outer space must not be a domain for armed conflict, because the difficulty of ensuring compliance with IHL makes it politically costly for states to conduct armed attacks in outer space. We also note that our distinguished Chinese colleague raised many legal questions that the application of IHL in outer space might imply. My delegation believes that these questions require focused and specific deliberations of a legal nature, which might transcend the mandate of this OEWG. It is important for these legal considerations to be unpacked by appropriate experts. With the exception of a few delegates from China and the ICRC, the said appropriate experts might not be present in this room. This, however, enhances our argument for the need for this OEWG to affirm the applicability of IHL in its outcome document, because such an affirmation provides a political signal for international experts to unpack the specific legal considerations that such an affirmation might imply. In closing, I wish to reiterate that we believe continuously that there is a balanced middle ground here that could accommodate the very understandable concerns raised by the distinguished Chinese delegations regarding IHL. And you, Mr. Chair, have started an attempt at such a balance in paragraph 10 of your elements paper, and we look forward to engaging constructively in this regard. Thank you, Mr. Chair.